And let's open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, you can scroll there on your device, open your copy of God's Word, or grab one of those black pew Bibles there in front of you. If you're grabbing that, you'll find Hebrews chapter 4 on page 1278. And in just a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to hear God's Word together. After that, we're going to pray. And when we pray today, I want us to be praying together for two families in particular. I'm going to ask you to be praying for the family of Chris and Stacy Brannon in the loss of Stacy's mother this past week. The service for Stacy's mom, Ms. Sheila Ware, will be today at 2 p.m. at Riverside Baptist Church in Greer. There is a time of visitation that begins at 12:30 today, so if you're able to make it by there and see Chris Brannon and Stacy, and just let them know you're praying for them. I know they would appreciate it greatly. Again, 12:30 visitation. Service at 2 today at Riverside Baptist Church in Greer. Also, we want to be praying for the family of Mr. Clyde McKinney. And Clyde McKinney passed away this past week as well. His service will be here in our sanctuary on Thursday at noon with the time of visitation at 10:30 that morning. So be praying for his children, Loretta Stevens and Greg McKinney, and for their family. I love Mr. Clyde, and was talking with Matt, I think, earlier this week about when Mr. Clyde was singing in the choir and he'd come down and greet everybody, shake everybody's hand along the front row as he was going down. I love Mr. Clyde. He loved to sing praises to the Lord, and I rejoice that he's doing that right now. And praise God for the hope that we have in the gospel. So be praying for those families. We're going to pray for them together in just a moment. But let's hear God's word. Would you stand with me in honor of God's word? Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Father, we want to draw near together now. Lord, together we do so on behalf of these two families. God, we pray that you would give Chris and Stacy and their family, that you would give the McKinney family mercy and grace to help in this time of need. God, would you encourage them and strengthen them? Father, would you use us to do that for them? Would you use us to encourage them? And Father, would you give us your mercy and your grace to help in this time through your word and by your spirit among us? We pray in Christ's name. You may be seated. Well, I want to just say also a quick word of thanks to those of you who are helping us out with Trunk or Treat tomorrow. Trunk or Treat tomorrow, again, rain or shine, and appreciate you guys coming. We'll just make the best of it if we end up in the gym. I'm praying for good weather, but I hope we can still pull this thing off, and it'll be a great event for our community. I really enjoy it. I love this event very much, and I was thinking about this week even as a kid at Halloween. I really loved Halloween. I loved dressing up and putting on a costume and pretending to be someone else there, at least for a night. I can remember clearly dressing up as a mummy one year, and I remember being Spider-Man one time. I remember, dressing up like a hobo one time, of course, very common outfit there. I remember dressing up like a cowboy one time, and more than anything, though, I remember all the candy. I love getting candy at Halloween as a kid, and I love getting candy now as a dad as well, because you guys know about the parent tax, right? When the candy comes home, you just, at night, you just kind of take your tax a little bit and you enjoy some of that candy. Kids love Halloween because of the candy. Kids love Halloween because they can dress up in a costume. They can pretend to be someone who they are not, and of course they get all the candy. And as a parent, I tolerate Halloween now really because of the whole process of finding the costume, but again, get the candy. We get the candy, but we don't have to dress up for it. Parents don't have to dress up for it. We adults may not dress up. I might dress up tomorrow. We'll have to see. I'll leave that out there for you. We may not dress up on Halloween, but the reality is that we often do dress up. We often do put on a costume. We often do pretend to be someone or something that we are not. We may not dress up on Halloween, but many of us do pretend that we're someone that we're not really all year long. And Hebrews 4, these verses in Hebrews 4 is an invitation to take our mask off and be real before the Lord. Hebrews 4 is an invitation to take off your mask. Hebrews 4 for you today is an invitation to take off your mask, to be willing to be honest about who you really are, and to come to God in that honesty. To come to God believing in who He is and being honest about who you really are, and there in Him to find what you really need. We're at a major turning point in our study of the book of Hebrews today at the end of chapter 4. What the writer of Hebrews is doing here is summing up all the arguments that he's been making that we've seen all along about Jesus being greater than the angels, Jesus being greater than Moses, Jesus being greater than Joshua. He's kind of summing all that up, and he's also turning our focus now to Jesus being the great high priest. Jesus being the great high priest who we need. He mentioned that already back in chapter 2. But now that's becoming a major focus. And really, that's going to be the focus all the way to chapter 10, verse 25. A focus on Christ as our great high priest. And he's turning our attention to it here. He's turning our attention to that focus for the rest of this letter. But this section also serves as a conclusion, really a positive conclusion to this whole section that we've been in this whole month of October. This warning section of Hebrews that we've been in since Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. We started that at the beginning of this month. And all this time, what we've heard are these warnings to not fall away. And these warnings to not harden our hearts to God's voice. And these warnings that we have to not fall to sin's deceitfulness. To not be like the wilderness generation who is unable to enter God's rest because of their unbelief, this warning. And here in these verses, we get the positive side of that, where he's telling us, don't fall away because Jesus is on the throne. And don't fall away because Jesus is on the throne and it's a throne of grace. And don't fall away because Jesus is on the throne, and it's a throne of grace, and He wants you to come and receive mercy and find grace to help in your time of need. I wonder if anybody in here would say that you're in a time of need. I wonder if anyone in here would know that you're in a time of need, maybe a season of life where it's really difficult. Maybe a season of life that you never thought you would have to go through. Maybe a time in life where it's hard for you to live by faith, and instead of being full of faith, you find yourself being full of doubt. I wonder if any of our high school kids ever find it hard to faithfully follow Jesus, to live out what Pastor Matt is telling you guys to do, to live those things out, the things that you're hearing from him on Wednesday nights, the things that you're hearing in here on Sunday mornings, and to really live that out in the halls of Wade Hampton High School. I wonder if any of you high school students find that to be a challenge. Or any of our middle school students find that it's hard to faithfully follow Jesus when all of your friends are living completely different than that, even in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. I wonder if any of you find that's hard. I wonder if any college student here would say you're in a time of need. Because you're thinking through all these big questions about life and career and what's next and all of these things, and you're trying to make all of these decisions right now, but you're also balancing that with papers and tests and relationships and all these things. I wonder if any parent right now is in a time of need. And you're trying to think through parenting, and you're wondering if you're doing the right thing by keeping such a focus and such a priority on the life of the church and keeping your kids involved in that life of the church when so many other things out there are clamoring for your attention and you're struggling to balance it all. Or maybe just with the question of raising kids in the year 2022. And what does that look like? And I wonder if you would say you're in a time of need. I wonder if any spouses in here are in a time of need right now. Because maybe you and your spouse you've just hit a wall in your relationship. Or maybe your spouse isn't faithfully following Jesus. and you don't know what to do about that. Or maybe for you, maybe you've lost a spouse. Maybe you just wish you had that spouse back so that you could hit a wall with them. I wonder if anyone in here is in a time of need who's not married and wants to be married. Or maybe you're thinking through, what does it look like to date? How do you date in a way that's faithfully following Jesus? Who should you date? This is a need for you right now. I wonder if there's anyone in here who's in a time of need because you're making decisions about an aging parent. And there's just some hard questions you're trying to think through right now. Now, I wonder if any retiree in here is in a time of need because you're thinking through finances and making ends meet in the time of inflation that we live in. I wonder if anyone in here is in a time of need and it's hard to make it through and to do that while you're walking by faith. Hebrews 4 is here for you. Hebrews 4 is here. It's God's promise that He'll give you what you need as you draw near to Him. He'll give you what you need. It's an invitation to take off your mask, to be real before God. We're weak, we're tempted, we need help. An invitation to be honest before God and find the help that we need. And Hebrews 4, 14 to 16 does that by giving us three important truths about Jesus. Three truths that then call for a specific response. Number one, Hebrews 4, 14 to 16 shows us this. It shows us that Jesus is with God, and He is with God for us. Jesus is with God, and He is with God for us. That's verse 14. Verse 14, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Verse 14 tells us that Jesus is our great high priest and that Jesus, as our high priest, has passed through the heavens. What's that? What does that mean? Well, next week is all about Jesus as our priest. And we're going to look at that next week. We're going to come to that theme again and again over the coming weeks. But next week in particular, we'll make it very clear what that means. But you can glance down at chapter 5, verse 1, and you see what it means there. In short, chapter 5, verse 1 tells us that the job of the priest is to act on behalf of men in relation to God. The job of the priest is to go to God on behalf of people and there to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. That's his job. The priest is the mediator. He was the one who would go to God on behalf of the people. So you could think about it like this. The job of the prophet in the Old Testament was to go to the people on behalf of God. And the job of the priest is to go to God on behalf of the people. So the priest would go to God on behalf of people, make sacrifices for sin. And he's telling us that Jesus is that. Jesus is our priest. No, he's the high priest, the lead priest. No, he's the great high priest is what it says. And this priest is, he's there for us. He's the one who made the sacrifice for sin. What's that sacrifice? An unblemished bull? A perfect lamb? What's the sacrifice? He made the sacrifice of himself. He made the sacrifice of himself. He was the sacrifice for our sin. It's what Pastor Matt read earlier from 2 Corinthians 5:21. He was the sacrifice for our sin when he gave his life on the cross, not for his sin. Verse 15 tells us he was without sin, but for our sin. He's the priest. He made the sacrifice. And now he passed through the heaven. Now, that's a weird phrase. And we're going to come back to that later on. We're going to get to that in some weeks ahead. What does it mean that he passed through the heavens? I'm not going to be able to go into depths of it now, but the point of that phrase, that he passed through the heavens, is not just to talk about his past travels, but his present location. So it's not focusing on this journey he passed through, but really on the current location in the heavens. And it's tricky because we think about heaven differently than the book of Hebrews thinks about heaven. Again, we're going to come to that later, but what it's saying, in short, what it's saying now is that Jesus has passed through to the innermost part of heaven. That in heaven, in the heavenly holy of holies, that's where Jesus is now. He's in the throne room of God. He's with God in the heavenly holy of holies. That's where Jesus is. He's with God, God the Father. And he's there for us as our priest. He's there for you. So that's the first thing that you need to know. Jesus is with God, and he's with God for you. Number two, you need to know this, that Jesus knows our weaknesses, and he has compassion on us. Jesus knows our weaknesses, and he has compassion on us. He's with God, but there was a time when he was with us. And there was a time when he was not only with us, but he was made like us, and Hebrews says that he was made like us in every respect. Do you remember that in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17, where we read there that he was made like his brothers in every respect, just like us? And here what we read is that includes temptation. That includes temptation. Look with me at verse 15. Verse 15. He says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." We're coming up on election season. That's a fun reminder on a rainy morning. We're coming up on election season. You know, the turnoff for many of us with politicians is that we feel like they're not connected, right? And you hear that all the time, every election season. So-and-so is a career politician. He doesn't know what it's like. He's a career politician. He doesn't know what it's like just to be a regular person. He doesn't know what it's like to go through what we're going through. But Jesus says that's not, Hebrews says that's not Jesus. That's not Jesus. Jesus knows what you're going through, and so he's able to sympathize with you. Jesus knows what you're going through. He knows what it's like to go through what you're going through, and so he's able to treat you with compassion. Have you ever thought of the fact that Jesus has gone through all the same kinds of things that you go through, including your temptations? That Jesus was a real man. Jesus was a real person, a real human. He experienced real temptation. And the Bible adds the all-important phrase here, yet without sin. He was tempted in every way, yet he never sinned. And some of us may say, well, then he doesn't really know. He doesn't know what it's like. He never really sinned. He doesn't know how hard it is to be tempted because he never gave in. I've heard it said that it's not the man who is tempted and gives in who understands the power of temptation. It's the man who is tempted and resists. That's the man who really knows the power of temptation. It's not the person who is tempted and gives up who understands the power of temptation. It's the person who's tempted and who fights. The person who is tempted and who resists, and he never gives in and he never gives up, no matter how hard he gets going, when the pressure mounts, he doesn't quit, he doesn't give in. When the fight gets harder, he keeps fighting. He's the one who knows the real power of temptation. So you might think of Jesus in the wilderness or Jesus in the garden. We're going to come back to that next week. You might think of those temptations for Jesus. But Hebrews says he was tempted like us in every respect. So in every kind of way that we're tempted, you read through Jesus' life. Read through the gospel accounts of Jesus' life and imagine yourself in those situations and just think through how you may be tempted to respond. When the people cheered him so much that they wanted to make him king, when his own family thought he was crazy, when a beautiful woman undid her hair and caressed his feet with her hair and rubbed them with ointment, when he was abandoned by his closest friends, when people kept trying to trap him with their words, when he was lied about and misunderstood, how would you be tempted if any of those things happened to you? Jesus went through all of those things, yet not once did he sin. What that means is he knows our weaknesses. He knows what it is to be tempted. So he can have compassion on us. And because he never sinned, he's able to help us. He's able to help us. And that's really the third thing. The third thing we need to remember is that Jesus is full of mercy and he's ready and able to help us. Jesus is full of mercy and he's ready and able to help us. Sometimes teenagers, parents, you don't have to raise your hand if this has happened to you. Sometimes teenagers say to their parents, "You just don't understand me," right? "You just don't understand me." Teenagers might say that, but probably all of us feel that at some point or another. Like people don't understand us. We think nobody gets us. Nobody knows what we're going through, what it's like to be us. No one really knows what's going on, but Jesus does. Jesus understands you. Jesus knows the inner parts of you. Jesus knows the hidden parts of you that you don't want anyone else to know, because all you want others to know is the best part of you. But listen, Jesus knows all of you. Jesus knows the real you, the part you try to keep hidden. And he still loved you enough to lay down his life for you. And still today, he loves you enough to be merciful and ready to help you. He knows you. He knows you. And still, he's merciful and ready to help you. He wants you. He wants relationship with you. Last week I said you may be able to hide yourself from other people, but you can't hide yourself before God. And this week I get to say, and you don't have to. You don't have to hide yourself before God. He knows what it is. He knows who you are, and he still wants you, and he's merciful, and he's full of compassion for you. You can lay down your pretenses, the facades you put up. You can take off your mask. You can admit your frailties. You can admit your weaknesses, yes, your sinfulness, and you can come confidently to him, because his throne is a throne of grace, not condemnation. He has compassion. Verse 16 tells us that from him we can receive mercy. He's full of mercy. He's ready to help us. So how do we respond? Well, the point of all of this isn't just to make us feel better. The point of this passage is not so that we would say, well, Jesus understands me. Somebody gets me at least, so I'm going to keep living like I live. That's not the response of this passage. The point of all this is that we would know the truth and then live in light of that truth. We would know who Jesus really is and then live in light of that. We would know that Jesus understands me, that Jesus is able to help me, and therefore, I'm going to draw near to Jesus. And that's the fourth thing. That's our response. Number four, therefore, because of all of this, Jesus is with God and he's there. He's with God for us. That Jesus knows our weaknesses and he has compassion on us. That Jesus is full of mercy and he's ready and able to help us. Therefore, let us hold fast our confession and let us draw near with confidence. Let us hold fast our confession and let us draw near with confidence. These are the two imperatives in this passage, the commands. Hold fast our confession. He's talking about our public stance as Christians. Your public stance as a Christian. Let us hold fast in this public confession that we've made. That's the confession that you made when you were baptized, when you joined with the church in membership. This public confession that you followed Jesus. It's a public identification with Christ. Hold fast. Hold firm to that. Remember, that's what we said in the very beginning when we started the book of Hebrews, that our goal in the book of Hebrews is that we would be so anchored in Christ that we would boldly and publicly identify with Christ and with his church. We'd be so anchored in Jesus that we would boldly and publicly identify with Christ and his church. And that's what he's talking about here. When we were baptized, when we joined with the local body, we made a public confession of our faith in Jesus Christ. We went public with our faith in Christ. And he's saying, don't back away from that, even when it gets tough. He's saying that Jesus knows what it's like to endure when it's tough. And he's able to help you to hold firm to that confession. That's what he's told us to do in chapter 3 and 4 over and again, to hold firm to the end. He's saying, Jesus can help you. He's at the throne of grace. He's ready to help you. He knows what it's like when it's tough. He knows what it's like when there's a high cost to faithfulness. He knows what it's like, and he's ready and able to help you. So hold fast to that and draw near. Draw near. He's talking about prayer. Prayer. Prayer is the supernatural response to hearing God's voice. We've heard in chapter 3 and chapter 4 that we hear his voice in his word, and prayer is the response to that. We hear God's voice in Scripture and we respond in prayer, and all of this is supernatural. This is the work of God, and we've been invited by God to join in. To join in. George Guthrie says it like this, that Jesus has been with us in our humanness, and now he invites us to be with him at the throne of grace. Jesus has been with us in our humanness, and now he invites us to be with him at the throne of grace. You've been invited by God to join him, to be with him, to draw near to him at his throne. It's relationship. And he promises you that when you do, he'll give you all you need to stay faithful. Over the last few weeks, we've talked a lot about faithfulness, about staying faithful. What we've seen is that faithfulness is essential, that falling away is a real danger. We've seen that those who fall away show that they never really were in Christ. We've heard the warning about sin's deceitfulness and about not allowing our hearts to become hardened. We've heard about staying faithful, and this here is the reason and the promise that you can do it. You can do it because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. He's on the throne, and he's giving us all the mercy and all the grace that we need to join him. So let us, he's talking to the same people that he just gave all these warnings to. And he says, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. All that talk about today, in chapter 3 and chapter 4. Today, if you hear his voice. Today, if you hear his voice. That's really about this. Today is a time of need for every single one of us. Today is a time of need. And every time we have a time of need, God promises to help us in Jesus. And to receive that help, he says, draw near. Draw near. Have you ever considered the fact that God wants a relationship with you? With you. God wants a relationship with you. God wants you to draw near. He's not a far-off God. He's not the Wizard of Oz standing behind the curtain. He's come near in Christ. He's made himself available in Jesus, and he wants us to draw near to him, and he's given us this as a promise, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time. And you know that word may doesn't mean like probably we'll receive mercy, maybe we'll find help. No, that word may means ability, it means permission. We may receive mercy and find grace to help means that as we draw near, we will receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. It's a promise from a compassionate God who knows what you're going through, who understands you, and who says to you, right where you are right now, not where you should be, right where you are right now, he says to you, draw near. Draw near. So take off your mask, admit your weakness and your need for help, and draw near to him in prayer. We get to do this together. And in some ways, that's what we end today with, is a small reminder that we have access to that. That's what this table is all about. This table, when we come to the Lord's Supper or communion, this is a reminder, a physical reminder that God invites us to draw near through Jesus. And we do that here together at this table. the Lord's Supper is a picture of relationship, Christ's relationship with all his people. And that means when we do this in just a moment, these plates will be passed in just a moment, that means that this act is for those who are Christ's people. This is for those who are baptized followers of Jesus. And if that's not you today, we're so glad you're here. We would just invite you to pass this plate on as it goes. Hear and watch. For those who are Christ's people, this is a promise for us, a physical reminder for us, a reminder of Christ's sacrifice for us, a reminder that we get to meet him at this table and have fellowship with him, a reminder that one day we'll see him face to face and we'll dine with him there. So at this time, let me ask our deacons to come forward to prepare the table. And as they come, we're going to put on the screen these verses, Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. These men in just a moment are going to pass these plates, and in these plates you will find two cups. They'll be stacked together. A cup with juice and then a cup on the bottom that has a small piece of bread in it. You can separate those. We'd ask you to just hold those, and in just a moment we'll take those together. As the plates are being passed, would you read over these words on the screen? Would you reflect in who Jesus is and what he has done to you and for you? And would you draw near to him in prayer in this time?